book of Ruth is a book of redemption. And it's redemption in a very particular time. It's in the harvest time. And that's the time we are living in. We're going to read from chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, a kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, "Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down.
Oyo, ntio wange, gundi, jamo tule wano, na chama na tula.
And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit you down here." And they sat down.
Na tula wasabja kumi, kubakadebe chivuga, na yogera ati mutule wano.
He had a purpose for what he was doing.
Ya lina chigeni na mwezi ya yako.
And he said unto the kinsman, "Naomi, who is come again out of the country of Moab, sell it, a plot of land, which was our brother Elimelech's."
Nagamba muganda we mukazi. Naomi, yakoma wo, okuba musi ya Moab, atunde tivanja, ichari cha muganda wafe, Elimelech.
And I thought to tell thee, saying, "Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it."
Mbadde ndowooza okukutegeeza nga njogera nti, kigulire mu maaso g'abatuula wano, ne mu maaso g'abakadde b'abantu bange. Bw'ayogera, bw'oyagala okukinunula, kinunule. Naye bw'otoyagala kukinunula, kale mbuulira amanye, kubanga tewali anakinunula wabula ggwe, nange nze nkuddirira.
Then said Boaz, "What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance."
Nayogera nti ndikinunula. Awo Boaz nayogera nti, "Bw'oligula ennimiro mu mukono gwa Naomi, kiri kugwanira ne Ruth Omumowaabu, mukazi w'oyo yafa, okukuguza, okuddizaawo obusika bwe erinnya ly'oyo yafa."
And the kinsman said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right for thyself, for I cannot redeem it."
Muganda w'omukazi oyo n'ayogera, "Siyinza kukyenunulira nzekka, nneme okwonoona obusika bwange. Nze gwe weetwalire okununula kwange okwo, kubanga nze siyinza kukinunula."
Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing to confirm all things. A man took off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel.
Ereno ye yali empisa edda mu Isirayiri ey'okununula n'okuwaanisa, okunyweza ebigambo byonna. Omusajja yanaanulanga engalo engatto ze n'aziwa munne, n'okwo kwabanga kujulirwa mu Isirayiri.
Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thyself." So he drew off his shoe.
Awo muganda w'omukazi n'ayogera nti, "Kyegulire n'anaanula engatto ze."
And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi."
Boaz nagamba abakadde n'abantu bonna nti, "Muli bajulirwa leero nga nguze byonna ebyali ebya Elimelech, ne byonna ebyali ebya Kiliyoni n'ebya Maloni mu mukono gwa Naomi.
Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife."
era Lusi mu Moabu mukazi wa Maloni muguze okuba mukazi wange.
To raise up the name of the dead upon its inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among the brethren, and from the gate of this place, you are witnesses this day. And all the people who were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Let us pray. Almighty God, I pray, Father, your quickening power will just lift us up now, like you did John, in the Spirit, that we can see these great revelations. And that the Lord can enlighten us. The entrance of your word bringing light and illumination to our hearts. Light for us to walk in this dark hour. May thy presence come close to us. And may you confirm your word in every heart. We believe and we ask these things for thy glory. And for the assistance of thy people. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. That was a very interesting scripture. And it is very much in relation to what I read this morning. Out of the book of Jeremiah. Amen. But now we are reading out of the book of Ruth. And I'm sure you noticed the similarities in what we read. They were buying a piece of property that had belonged to one who was a kinsman. Amen. And all these things are very relevant to this very hour and to this message. And my intention is to bring something to you that will help you understand the time that we are living in and what God is doing. I'm a firm believer that God never leaves his program and that God always works in continuity to what he started. And when these seven seals were opened in this day, we realize that from the very first word in the Bible, in the beginning, all the way to the last word in the book of Revelation, amen, that God had one purpose, one objective. And all along through the Bible, this kept unfolding. And the reason this age is the greatest of all ages because this is the day when the message has come to take us back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. He is gathering his redeemed subjects in this hour. And he is revealing unto us how he had worked down through the ages. And how it's all coming to its great climax in this hour. Many of the people in the past ages, they desire to see the things that we are seeing. They lived in the time when the book was sealed. But in this day, the book is open. Amen. And as we examine what we took this morning, I just want to build upon that this evening. So just for a few moments, let me try to refresh your memory as to what we were looking at this morning. We took a very interesting story in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, from verses 6 to 15, where it tells us of a vision that Jeremiah had while he was in the prison. And we find out that in that vision, he saw his cousin, his uncle's son, coming to him, telling him to buy their inheritance. It was a portion of land in Anatot. And that was part of the land that Joshua had divided up for Benjamin. And Jeremiah's father and Hanamiel's father was brothers. So that made them family. And they had recognized Jeremiah to be a true prophet. And we found out that in his message that he prophesied in that day, it was a message of redemption and judgment. And we find out that judgment was to come upon the people because of their sin. And they were to be taken to captivity. But God told them when they begin to seek him with all their heart, he will be found of them. And he was going to bring them right back into the same land that they were taken out of. And because many of them was old and would die down in Babylon, but because they believed the word of the prophet, that he was speaking to them God's word, they wanted to make sure that when their seed returned back in the land, that inheritance would be secure, and that they would have the deed of purchase, which would be the thing to base the rightful claims upon that inheritance. Because if they don't have the deed, then they'll have nothing to base the claims of ownership upon. And because they knew of the importance of the deed in making claims upon an inheritance, they didn't want to put it into something that would rust or corrupt. Because if they put it in a tin pan and that begins to rust after a while, and then eventually the deed get destroyed, time they come back for the inheritance, they may argue and say, that land is mine. That was my ancestors' property. But in a court of law, these things must be decided by concrete facts. They will have to come with something that is genuine to prove that the claims are authentic. So knowing the importance of the deed, they put it in an earthen vessel. That's something that will last until the 70 years. The sword believe the inspired prophecy of the prophet. That Jeremiah maybe put his life savings to buy that property. That is just, thus saith the Lord. Lands and vineyards will be possessed again. Amen. And we found out this transferring of the property it was not done in a corner. It wasn't a secret thing. It had to be done publicly in the presence of witnesses. People would be able to say, I saw. This thing really happened. Amen. We were all witnesses. They went so far to even sign, made the witnesses sign upon it. Why was they doing all that? Because there's all those people coming with some fraud. Coming to make some impersonation. And many was deceived by impersonations. So they had to do it in such a way that it would be valid. Amen. So it gives security. To the person it genuinely belongs to. Amen. And the same way Israel was taken out of the land and taken into captivity, but they were going to be able to come back into the land, and that family from Benjamin would be able to come back and possess the inheritance. And live again in that property that had houses and vineyards. Hallelujah! They might have been living in poverty down in Babylon. They might have been a slave with chains upon them. Hallelujah! But one day, God was going to break them chains. God is going to remove that bondage. God is going to bring them back to the homeland. Bring them back to the inheritance. That a man will go back to his grapevine and eat his grapes. Squeeze it out into his cup. Get all stimulated. Say, my cup run it over. He will be able to come back again. Hallelujah. And so it is. We in the Garden of Eden, when God made man and gave him an inheritance. Hallelujah. Man fell because a man sinned. He paid the price of our redemption. He paid the price for the earth. Hallelujah. And he knew that one day we will go back to Eden again. Glory. Isn't God wonderful? How in these little stories, down to the Bible, because this Bible is a book of redemption. Amen. From beginning to end, it is revealing redemption. And the fullness of that redemption is when man stands in the Garden of Eden again with eternal life in an immortal body in a new earth. Hallelujah! Where he shall never die. He will never have to go in captivity again. Because Jesus taught it. The meek shall inherit the earth. We might have hardship now. We may go through a little time of suffering here and there. But the hour is coming and now is that the suffering of this time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Because the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And God has sent forth his message, proving to us that this is the hour. Now, as we move from there to the book of Ruth, many people have questioned the authenticity of the book of Ruth, of its place in the Bible. They thought it was just a love story. The whole Bible is a love story. Amen. And in this book of Ruth, it reveals something so precious. It's placed right in the time of Judges. It's the story of a family that was from Judah. And does anybody know what the symbol of Judah is? The symbol of Judah is the lion. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he had an inheritance. He was a family of Judah. Amen. And he was given a portion when Joshua and them divided up the land. And there was a famine in the land. And this man from Judah, Elimelech, he left his inheritance. And he went into Moab. He forfeited his inheritance. And he began to get into real trouble. Because our inheritance is a spiritual inheritance today. And the moment we leave that word, we begin to die. As long as we're in that word, we are blessed. We might be tried and tested. Amen. But nevertheless, we shall be tried. And when he was being tried, he forfeited his inheritance. And he went into Moab. And you know the story. His two sons got married to two Moabite girls, Ruth and Orpha. And then judgment struck. And the two boys died. And the two girls became widows. Elimelech himself had died. So now Naomi was going back into her homeland. She heard God had visited his people with bread. And the Bible says she was coming back in the harvest time. Now I want you to see something. God's mystery for this last day is hidden in the Bible, in shadows and types. And when God sent that prophet and he opened up the word, then we begin to see how we can know exactly what is happening in this hour. And when we know what is happening in this hour, we know how to prepare. We know how to make ready. We know what to expect. We know what to resist. Amen. We know what to lay aside. When the word is open to us, showing us our position in the word. So Naomi went back in the harvest time. Harvest time is when your seed come back to seed. I drove in here today and I noticed all the corn planted all around. And I'm sure many of you who live around here, you know when that field was empty of any corn. And somebody went in there and began to put that seed in the ground. There wasn't sticking in corn plants. They took some seed. Some grains of corn. Well, the seed is the image of the life. And they put it in the ground. And it began to grow. And then one day they saw some leaves come up in the ground. Amen. No, that isn't harvest time. Amen. Then the stalk began to grow up. Another stage of the corn. But that in harvest time. Because it still don't have an ear of corn on it yet. Amen. And then finally it began to put out an ear. But it still ain't a grain of corn yet. But as that corn is now maturing, it's coming back to the original seed that was planted. It has completed its cycle. And you begin to notice the rest of the plant is dying, is drying up. Why is it drying up? It was green one time. It had life in it. The life had it green. But now it's dry. Do you know why? Because all the life went into the grain to make the grain ripe and mature. Then you begin to go and pick your corn. Because you had a grater and make some cornmeal. Amen. You have to make the bread of life. Just like that, Jesus said, I'm the corn of wheat. Then he said, I am the bread of life. Well, bread is wheat ground into powder and baked in a heated oven. Hmm.
kwegamba ebeere ensigo ey'eŋŋaano esigibwa muli kwegamba eŋŋaano nga yensaano nti bwevaayo ne bagikolamu ne bagiteeka mu kino ekifumba ng'omugaati guvaamu ate ki.
Amen. You have to break up that dream. Then you have to sift it. Because you want the flour refined. You don't know a bunch of lumps in it. Then you anoint it with oil. Hallelujah! It's still not a life flow of yet. Amen. You can't eat that yet. Have to go to the fiery trials. In a heat oven. Then you can feed upon it. Then you can be nourished by it. Amen. That is why he had to go to Gethsemane and Calvary. He had to be broken and ground into powder. You have to be broken. You have to go through fiery trials. Then we can feed upon him and be nourished. And so Naomi heard. It was harvest time. Well, if Jesus is the corn of wheat, and harvest time is when the seed come back to seed, what does it mean? There was a revealing of the Son of Man here, the corn of wheat, and there will be another revealing of the Son of Man. And when that other revealing of the Son of Man comes, we'll know it's the end time. Because there is no further stage than when the seed come back to seed. What do they do after they pick all that corn? Do they keep watering the plant to bring more corn? They cut it down, bundle it up, and throw it into the fire. But what to do with the corn? They take it into the house. Amen. So we know when the seed come back, the seed is time for the rapture. He's going to take his bride away. So when we saw the Son of Man being revealed in this day, we know we were in the harvest time. Then in that hour, we're supposed to see Naomi going back in their homeland. If that was a mystery in the Bible, did we see Naomi going back in the homeland? What was the Jews going back in the homeland meant? 1946. Being rushed from all over the world. Amen. It was Naomi going back in the homeland. And did you notice? In that hour, there was a Gentile bride coming in. So Ruth chapter 1 reveals the Gentile coming in the hour when Israel is going back in their homeland. In the hour of the revealing of the Son of Man. Amen. And then we also notice in Ruth chapter 2, she begins to serve in the field. And she ended up in Boaz's field. Oh, I tell you, God knows how to guide your footsteps. Because she needed redemption. needed redemption. Amen. And Elimelech had some family. Boaz was Elimelech's family. He was a great wealthy man from Judah. If Elimelech represented Adam, he forfeited his inheritance. Death struck his family. Amen. Elimelech's inheritance needed redemption. But when was it going to be redeemed? In the harvest time. When is the harvest time? When the Son of Man has been revealed. When Naomi is going back in the homeland. When the Jews is going back to Palestine. In that hour, a Gentile is coming in. So we see that the book of Ruth begins in 1946 with a bride going back in. Amen. The hour she's coming in. The hour when Israel is in the homeland. And we find out Boaz represented Christ. The one who can redeem Adam's inheritance. Amen. And Boaz, he was the Lord of the harvest. Is that right? He was also kinsman redeemer. He was also bridegroom of the Gentile bride. Because Boaz married Ruth. Hallelujah. So we see Boaz being revealed in a threefold manner. Lord of the harvest, kinsman redeemer, and bridegroom of the Gentile bride. In the hour when Israel is back in the homeland. Amen. And we find out, he told Ruth, don't go in no other field. Glean in this field. Don't glean in a Methodist field. Don't glean in a Pentecostal field. Don't glean in some Jehovah Witness or Seventh-day Adventist field. But in this field, there is redemption. And we notice, before she could receive that redemption, in Ruth chapter 3, she had to go and mark the spot where Boaz laid. In chapter 1, now if you are Ruth this evening, if you are Ruth, if Ruth was speaking about the bride in this hour, then we must see in this hour the very stages of Ruth's experience in our life. Amen. No, we just can't enjoy the story. Ruth is a shadow of a group of people. Same like Naomi represented the 144,000. Boaz represented Christ. The harvest time represented the end of the world. So Ruth represented the Gentile bride. The chief reaper that Boaz had. His chief servant was the prophet messenger of this age. Then the rest of reapers that Boaz had. It's the fivefold ministry. Amen. It's all laid out in shadow and time. So if you are Ruth, then you must see in your own life the stages of Ruth's experience
as she come into a full complete redemption. Amen. And the first thing, she had to make a decision. Do you remember those words of that decision? When Naomi was telling her, go back to your gods. Go back to your home. Look, God have dealt with me very bitterly. I've had a lot of suffering. I lost my husband and my sons. Your husbands are dead too. Say, I'm going back to my land, you go back to yours. And the Bible said, Orpha went back. But not Ruth. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Where thou goest will I go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die will I die. Where you buried will I be buried. If we don't have that kind of beginning, we can't have the kind of end root had. That is the kind of decision in the harvest time that brings us to a full redemption. Amen. Look at Elimelech's inheritance. Where was it all that time? All kind of squatters was upon it. They cut down all the trees. They pollute all the rivers. They destroy the atmosphere. They ruin the inheritance. Amen. It needed redemption. Hallelujah. But in that hour, there was one. Boaz, a wealthy man of Judah. A type of the Lion of Judah. Who had prevailed. Who is able to take the book and loose the seals and bring redemption to that fallen inheritance in the harvest time. Amen. And so God, laying the picture out, that the time came in Ruth chapter 4. We see Boaz going to do the work of redemption now. So what does he do? According to the law and custom, he goes out to the city. He goes in the gate, a public place, a public testimony. He gets the elders of the city, and he gathers, he stands in the midst of the elders. Oh, what a picture of a greater than Boaz, who stood in the midst of greater elders than Boaz had, who is a kinsman redeemer, who is going to make claims of redemption to redeem the inheritance and to redeem the fallen, the bride. Hallelujah! And so Boaz stood there in the midst of the elders. And there was another kinsman who was nearer. And he asked him, he said, would you redeem Elimelech's inheritance? He couldn't do it. He wasn't even willing to do it. Amen. And then Boaz said, I will redeem it this day. And I take Ruth to be my wife, whom I have purchased. He was willing to pay the redemption price. that will give him the right of the inheritance. The redemption was his. Just like in the book of Jeremiah. Now let me show you something. That's in the Revelation chapter 5. Because all these things that start in the beginning of the Bible, every shadow and type of redemption spoke of the day of redemption, when redemption would be revealed in reality form. Full, complete redemption. Amen. Look at Revelation chapter 5 here. And John has seen a vision. And he was commissioned to write what he saw and heard. So when this vision breaks to him, he began to write it. He said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a scroll written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And this evening I'm speaking on the opening of the seven seal scroll. It was sealed, but now it's been opened. But we found out this morning what the seal scroll represented. Do you remember what it represented? It was the title deed to an inheritance. Amen. And here we see, this one is calling for a redeemer who is able to take the book and to open its seals. It's something that had to do with redemption. And it says that no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the scroll, neither to look at it. And he said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the scroll, neither to look on it. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Watch this vision now. And he says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Look at this Lion of Judah, this Lamb of God, in the midst of the elders, going to make claims on redemption, just like Boaz was when he was going to redeem that Gentile bride. When was he going to do it? In the harvest time. When is the harvest time? At the end of the age, when the Son of Man has been revealed, when Israel is in the homeland. Amen.
So we see the reality of these things. And verse 7 says, and he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And look at verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What did it have to do with? It had to do with redemption. And what were they crying out? We shall reign as kings and priests on the earth again. We will come back to our inheritance. We'll go back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. Our inheritance that was lost will be given back to us. Amen. But I want you to notice the law that concerning redemption to redeem an inheritance, there was a specific time given for this to take place. Amen. Amen. So turn with me to Leviticus 25. We're going to close just now. But I just want to strike this real good. Because I want you to see that this last day message, oh, is more than just coming to church and say, I believe God sent a prophet. It's more than just saying, coming to church and saying, I believe God sent a prophet. It's more than saying, I left the denomination. Because remember all them people who come out under Moses, who saw the pillar of fire, who got healed in Moses' meetings, who drank water from the rock, who had baptized unto Moses coming through the Red Sea. Remember, many of them perished in the wilderness. They never entered into the promise. So the real testimony of this hour is not to come out of Egypt. It's to possess what have been restored back. Amen. Because all that we had in the beginning has come back. And sin is to miss the mark. Leviticus 25. When Jeremiah and what we read in Jeremiah and in the book of Ruth was based upon this law right here. Because they being Jews was given this law by Moses, who went into the pillar of fire and came back out with the revealed word, which was to govern the lives of the people. So let us understand this. Because God, in giving this law and in these stories of redemption being recorded in the Bible, was put there for the specific purpose of helping us to understand the greater redemption of a greater inheritance. Amen.
And it revealed to us the time that this will be taking place. And if you notice, when you come to that seven seals, Brother Branham preached the breach between the ages and the seals. Revelation chapter 5. The opening of the seven seal scroll. And that is what this message was all about. The seven seals being opened. But we are finding out that seven seal scroll was a title deed to an inheritance. It spoke of redemption. In the book of Jeremiah, we found the seal scroll. In the book of Ruth, we found the redemption of the Gentile bride in the harvest time. We found the kinsman redeemer. Amen. And now in Leviticus 25, we want to find a jubilee. So then we'll truly understand the hour. In the time of the jubilee, in the time of the harvest, when the Gentile bride is coming into full redemption, when the seven seals are being opened and a jubilee is being sounded, so we can return to our possessions. Amen. Leviticus 25, verse 8. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years.
Amen.
And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shall thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now, as we bring this service to a close, we don't just want to preach a good sermon. But if you as a believer, sitting here this evening, hearing the word, and you begin to see what has been made available, and there's a need in your life, and you can recognize the presence of God in the word, ministering an entrance to you, to bring you in to receive what is rightfully yours, then you can claim your inheritance. If it's an unsaved family, if you want the Holy Ghost, if it's healing for your body, whatever it is, amen, you must recognize your promise. And if you hear it, you recognize it to be the truth, then you go to acting upon it. Amen. And verse 10. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inheritance thereof,
it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you, and you shall not sow neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather in it the grapes of thy vine unpruned. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increased thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. Let's look at verse 23 and 24 also. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me.
So, sitatundi wanga okujivira mdala enaku zonna kubanga ensi yange kubanga muli bagenyi era bayise gendi.
And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Now notice something. That trumpet of the jubilee that had to be sounded in the 50th year after seven Sabbaths of years. Seven times seven was 49. And in the 50th year, there was to be a release. Nobody holding that land could hold it any longer. And regardless of what kind of bondage held the owner of that land, that man had to be released and set free in the 50th year. That was the grace of God. A man might have had his inheritance, and then something happened, he had to pay a debt or something. So the man he was owing held his property. And the man couldn't redeem his property. His children might have to be servants to the man or something, working to pay back that debt. But God, in giving us a promise, the reason God was giving that law, because in his thought, he was thinking of a greater land, the earth. And he was thinking of Adam, fallen race, who inheritance was lost. But there was going to be a time when it's going to come back to them. So since man couldn't do it for himself, God said there'll be a jubilee. In the event a man couldn't redeem his own property,
then that man who's holding that property could only hold it for 49 years, for 7 Sabbaths of years, like 7 church ages. Amen. But then at the end of that 7 Sabbath of years, there was to be a jubilee. But that jubilee trumpet could only sound on the day of the atonement. Now the day of atonement was once a year. The 10th day of the 7th month. But the jubilee was every 50 years. But in the 50th year, the jubilee and the atonement came together. Amen. I hope you can begin to catch the picture. On the day of atonement, that was the day when the high priest was going to the Holy of Holies once a year. And he could only go in there with blood. Amen. He must not go in there without blood. Otherwise, he'll die. Glory. And we find out that while he was going there with blood, he was going with blood to make atonement for the sins of the people. Amen. And you have to sprinkle 7 drops of that blood on the mercy seat. Why 7 drops of blood? It spoke of the 7 church ages being covered by blood. And then God would come down to show he has accepted the atonement. Because the law of God required that a lamb be slain. Hallelujah! The righteous sentence of the law had to be executed. And when the just demands of a holy God was met, when God was satisfied that blood, which was the sign that the life had been given, hallelujah, then God would come down to show he has accepted it. His requirement has been met. Amen. And then that priest, knowing that mercy has now been extended to the people. Listen carefully. Because if there was no blood on that mercy seat, it was a judgment throne. Amen. And then that priest, while he's doing the mediatorial work, he's mediating on behalf of the people. He's interceding for them. He's a high priest. Hallelujah! He's in the Holy of Holies, mediating inside of you. And the people outside is waiting with expectations. They want to know, has God accepted our sacrifice? Are our sins forgiven? They don't know. They're in suspense. Amen. They only have assurance when they see that priest coming out. Because if that priest didn't come out, it meant he dropped down dead. Glory! So they begin to see. All eyes was watching. There was fixed right in the entrance of that curtain. And all of a sudden, as they saw the high priest leaving the mediatorial office. Glory! Coming out! And the same, they went up in praise. They begin to rejoice because one was worthy. Hallelujah! God's requirements was met. They knew now they had total justification. Glory! Next thing, they were going to have total redemption. Amen! So when they saw that priest coming out, the next thing they had to do was to blow the trumpet of the Jubilee. The Bible said of the trumpet given on certain song, who shall prepare? That man who blowing that trumpet, the Bible says he had to blow the trumpet of the Jubilee. Couldn't be a trumpet for war. Couldn't be a trumpet for a feast. Had to be a proclamation of emancipation. Like the prophet tell the story. When the African slaves in America was in slavery all them years, then President Lincoln came and he's breaking the chains of slavery from among the lives of the people. And he made this great famous speech. And the declaration was signed that at sunrise, the slaves will go free. Oh, they had been in slavery so long. They had been beaten and ill-treated for so long. And now freedom was coming. He said, I couldn't sleep that night. Some of them climbed the highest mountain they could climb. Some were down in the valley. Some was in other parts of the country. But they stood there on that mountain top waiting. They was watching. They saw the morning star come out. They knew the sun would show any minute. It was the breaking of a new day. A day of freedom. All of a sudden, they saw the sun begin to rise in all its glory. And the cry went out. We are free. We are free. They down in the valley begin to hear it. They begin to song it out. We are free. Like those in Jinja here, we are free. Those in Tororo say we are free. Those in Kampala say we are free. What was happening? They were seeing the rising of the sun. They were entering a new day. They were going back to the original position. proclaiming uncertainty. They were proclaiming liberty. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, they were proclaiming a message of redemption. That slave who was in bondage, he knew there was a provision in God's economy. For him who couldn't deliver his own self. So he was checking the time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ephesus. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Smyrna. And when he checked 7 Sabbaths of ages, at the end of the 7th age, he know any day now, I will hear a certain song. Maybe during them ages had all kind of denominational trumpets blowing. But he would listen for a certain song, proclaiming liberty, telling him go back to his inheritance. Until he see the high priest coming back out. Then the blessings can be offered to the people. Get it now? That is why many people can't get healed many times. It's the way they're trying to go into it. That is why many churches can't have total deliverance and come into the promises, because they're the way they're trying to go into it. Because every redemptive blessing lays in the atonement. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when that man heard the trumpet, he recognized his day. His message. His message was saying, go back to your possession. It was saying, go back to your family. Not Methodist and Baptist. The family in heaven and on earth. In name after the Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the faith of the fathers. Going back to the inheritance of our fathers. Remember, that man was a slave. That slave master might have given all kind of trouble. But in that hour, he saw the atonement and the jubilee coming together. They can't see one person being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because they have failed to see the atonement. And they're trying to blow deliverance. Amen. And it is not being based on the finished work.
Hallelujah, glory to God.
Amen. The order in the year of Jubilee was first the atonement, then the sounding of the trumpet, and then you return into your possession. The order is the same today. Amen. First, you must come to a true vision of Calvary. Then the gospel trumpet proclaiming liberty based on the finished work. Then every man could enter into the redemptive blessings. Look how the jubilee and the atonement came together as we close.
It always came together. Amen. In the time of Egypt, Moses had to slay the lamb first. And the people had to get under the blood of the slain lamb. Is that right? And after they was identified with the slain lamb, then they went out in freedom. But before they could go out in freedom and return to their possessions, before they can go out in freedom and return to the land that God promised Abraham, they had to be identified with the slain lamb first. Not one person was free unless they came under that slain lamb, because that lamb died in their place. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah! Because the lamb met the just demands of a holy God. The lamb had died bearing God's judgment in their place. Their guilt was transferred on the lamb, and the lamb's innocence was transferred on them. Amen. Look at Leviticus 25 also. They saw the priest coming out, knowing that the lamb had died. The blood had sprinkled the mercy seat. Their sins were forgiven. They stood justified in God's presence. There was now no condemnation. They were acquitted. They were free from guilt. Hallelujah! Because the lamb died in their place. And God received it as a substitute for them. Then they could go back to the inheritance. Look at Calvary. Jesus had to come and die. Is that right? And when he died on the cross, he rose Easter morning. And then there was 50 days from Easter to Pentecost. 7 sevens of 49. After 7 weeks run out, then the Holy Spirit came on the 50th day to bring a total deliverance. And they received an earnest of their redemption. Amen. And in the last days, Revelation 5. What happened? The book was sealed. It was the end of the age. 7 church ages had run out. It was time for redemption to be revealed. It was time for the Jubilee to be sounded. It was time for the sons of God to return to the inheritance. Hallelujah! But we first had to see the high priest. We had to see him coming out. Hallelujah! And in Revelation 5, here come the high priest coming out. A lamb as though he had been slain. And Revelation 10, there must be a jubilee trumpet follow it. 7 long blasts. 2 in what? Proclaiming redemption. And the 7 seal book opened, telling every son and daughter of God, return to your possession. Return to your inheritance. What is our inheritance?
Adam lost three things: eternal life, fellowship with God, and power over the earth. In this day, we saw one who had eternal life. He identified himself in the Bible. He made the promises work. He made the promises work. To prove that he had eternal life, God vindicated it. He had fellowship with God. That God even said, "Won't you take a walk with me?" He began to walk with God in the woods. The animals come all around him. He had power to speak. He spoke and squirrels came into existence. Amen! If that is what Adam lost, how could it be displayed in this day? Hallelujah! Because that book was revealed. That trumpet was sounded. That we can return back to our inheritance. Can you see the hour, my brother? Can you see the hour, my sister? Jeremiah 32. The sealed scroll. A title to an inheritance. Like Revelation 5. A book sealed with seven seals. Had to be opened. When was it opened? In the time of the Jubilee. When the high priest had done the work, had done the mediatorial work. And then the time for the trumpet of Jubilee to sound. Amen. Who received redemption? Look at Ruth, a Gentile bride in the harvest time, being redeemed by Boaz, who was the lion of Judah, in a type, redeeming Elimelech's inheritance, which was a type of the earth. So here we are. We have the seven seal message. What are we doing with it? Have we recognized our position? Have we recognized our names in that book? Have we recognized that message of the seventh seal? Revelation 10. That jubilee. After seven church ages run out. From Ephesus to Laodicea. But in Revelation 10, a message of redemption. Seven church ages was intercession. But seven seals is revealing redemption. What is redemption? To go back to the beginning. To go back to the original. Where we were before the fall. Amen. May we not live below our God-given privileges. What have come back into our possession is the evidence that we are the rightful owners. Adam had that seal deed, but he forfeited it when he listened to his wife, who had listened to Satan. Amen. He lost his right to the tree of life. I'm finished. And then it went back in the hands of God. Adam don't have it no more. God had it. Then we see in Revelation 5. The Lamb came and took the book out of the hand of God. Adam don't have it. God don't have it. The Lamb has the book. Then Revelation 10. We see another mighty angel coming down from heaven with a book. Adam don't have the book no more. God don't have the book no more. The Lamb don't have the book no more. A mighty angel has the book. Is the book changing hands? No. The one who's holding the book is changing form. God and morphine. Amen. Then the book is no longer in heaven.
It can no longer be on the earth.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Hallelujah. Then Revelation 10. Verse 8 to 11. John is told, go and eat the book. Adam don't have the book no more. God don't have the book no more. The Lamb don't have the book no more. The angel don't have the book no more. Is inside of John. Amen. And that was the title deed that gave Adam dominion over the earth. That showed he was the legal owner. He was an amateur god. And that same revelation has come back to us. Amen. No wonder the prophet says, when the bride comes to know who she is. Amen. This great secret. The word is in the bride. In that day, you will know, as I was in their father, and their father in me, so I in you, and you in me. Have you eaten that book? Do you know what that book represented? If you have that treasure in earthen vessels tonight, do you recognize the position it places you in before God? Have you understood what the trumpet sounded? There was a trumpet of Jubilee. Are you afraid to lay your hands on the sick and see them recover? Are you afraid to cast out devils in his name? Are you afraid to expect a change to get a new body in this hour? Do you really understand what that message coming back to sons of God in the last days is? The whole earth was groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Is there a desire in your heart this evening for that reality? Do you want to live in the same power? Walk in the same victory? That is the inheritance for the sons of God. Let's stand to our feet. Do you believe that seven seal book is opened? Do you believe it's come back to us? Do you believe it's inside of us? Do you believe that we are standing again in our God-given rights? Then may from this evening we never live below our God-given privileges. If God have given you a home, if God have given you a family, may it be the most famous family. May not be the most beautiful structure, but you have an inheritance. And when you stand within the walls of your home, let God by his grace allow you to shelter yourself. Create your own atmosphere. That you can raise your children under the word of God. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Training them up in the way that they shall go. Husbands and wives have a right to enjoy the same blessing that Adam and Eve had.
the same victory. And if sickness wants to invade your home, you have the right to stand up there and say, Satan, you have no right in this property. This is my inheritance. Amen. All things within the boundaries of these walls are under my feet. Amen. When they went in Canaan land, God said, every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, that have I given unto you. Footprints speak of possession. Claim your possession this evening. It's yours. Don't be bluffed out. God has given it back to you in the form of this revealed word. And the Holy Spirit is here to remind you and to teach you further on those truths that you can live in your God-given privileges. When you pray, present that token, that Holy Spirit in you is the abstract title deed. If you don't have that Holy Spirit in you this evening, you'll try to have faith when you pray, but it'll just be a hope so. I wish it could happen. I hope God do it. But when you have genuine faith, when you have that Holy Spirit in you, you can present it with your prayer as a royal seed of Abraham, because the promises were made to Abraham and his seed. And by being in Christ, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. God will not refuse you. But if you don't have that deed this evening, all you need to say is, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. This is the Jubilee. We're in the 50th year. 7 church ages have run out. And the message of grace and redemption have come to us. Won't you let him come into your heart this evening? To make you part of this great promise? To have it in a reality? That you can know you stand on your God-given ground. Have nothing to do with your culture. Have nothing to do with your culture. Have nothing to do with your social background. Have nothing to do with your social status. You have to have no inferiority complex about it. God is not dealing with the body or the spirit. He is dealing with that soul on the inside. That could say, that's your word, God, I believe that. Amen. Blessed be his name. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And you say, Lord, come into my heart. You say, but remember me in prayer this evening. I believe the word. I want to see it made a reality in my life. I want to live in the spirit. I want to walk in the power and in victory. I believe God promises for this hour. I want to live in my God-given privileges. If you desire that and you want to lift your hand and say, remember me in prayer, that God can give that to you today. Blessed be his wonderful name. Almighty God, I pray that these hands that was raised with the consciousness and the realization that was brought by a mind illuminated by the word. Seeing that your grace has done this for us. And you being faithful to your promise. According to Revelation 10. You've come back to make this known to the elect. A mighty prophet proclaimed it, Lord, and displayed it unto us, that we might see the hour we are living in, and we might know what you have made available. This is the hour for us to enter into these things. May faith be anointed. May the Holy Spirit lift us up on higher ground as we sang this evening. Oh my God, may you grant it, Father. Let that Holy Spirit move into every heart. Into the hearts of your believing children this evening. May they never be the same again. I rebuke every contrary spirit that have tried to hold them and make them live below the God-given privileges. Satan cannot make no false claims upon them because you shed your blood for them. Your Holy Spirit is here to claim them, Lord. Everyone that is believing, looking unto you this evening, may you claim them, Father. Bring them under the influence of your Holy Spirit, that they might walk in this grace. Bless them, Lord. May they go from strength to strength and become the manifested sons and daughters to show forth your victory and the reason of your death. We pronounce your richest blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you. May God bless you. May the Lord bless the preacher. Believe that's a wonderful sermon. How many have got it? God bless you. I'm not going to dilute the message. I just want to dismiss you so that you go and meditate over the message. Now, I'd like you to pray for our brothers because they are going back. How many would like them to come back? Just ask the Lord that they may come back. And we'd also request our brothers to carry our greetings to our brethren at the other end. Just tell them, I believe you have been taking a video here. Tell them if we don't meet here, we are struggling to meet at the Lord's feet. And so even the brethren who are traveling back, may the Lord's peace rest on you. You see, this has been an abrupt feast almost. We just knew it a few days ago. So we didn't pass the message to most of the brethren around. So we shall ask you to excuse us because there was very short notice.
But we who have heard the news, let us go and relate it to our brethren who have not been able to come. As I told you, there are times when people sit on the radio listening to news. When you ask him what was on the radio, just problems, brother. But what did you hear? We just heard there were many things on the radio. Please. May the Holy pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the reminder, remind you of these things, so that we can catch up the last bride that is outside. So let us bow our heads and we pray. Maybe as we bow our heads, and you are new here, you've heard this gospel for your first time, and you'd like to commit your life to the Lord, may you put up your hand so that we pray for you. Just raise your hand if you're a new person here and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe we are all saved. So let us pray. Most Holy God, who came down in a human flesh to redeem man from his fallen state and bring back that which was lost, and in these last days, O God, you came down under a mighty angel with an open book which you have already passed over to the earth, calling your bride, those that you foreknew from the foundation of the world, to bring them back to that Eden again. We are grateful, O God, that we have realized that we are eaglets and we've gathered where the food is. We are happy, Lord, for the food we've received, that you've passed through our brothers, the testimonies we've shared, and the fellowship we've had here. We believe this has been a historical time in our day that we've lived. Lord, we believe that it has been recorded in heaven. I therefore pray that you will guide everyone who has been under this fellowship. May you just put your grace upon everyone, that as we travel back home, meet each one of us on the way. Meet us at our family altars, that, Lord, you may speak to us again. And Father, we pray for our brethren as they travel back to Tororo, to Jinja, Kampala, and back to their home. May your angels encamp around them. And even our brothers who are traveling to various places, may your blessings rest upon them. Lord, we commit this prayer into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray. Amen. I want us to sing a song. Just song number 28. As we move out and greet one another. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone. It says, fill my way every day with love. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone. Hey!
Amen.